CinemaJaw is brought to you by Spectrum Safety Training. Spectrum provides OSHA 10-hour and OSHA 30-hour training. Spectrum also provides food safety training for restaurant managers and food handlers. Avoid OSHA citations and fines. Prepare and prevent. Don't repair and repent. Call today to register into the next available classes. 847-780-8944 or visit SpectrumSafetyTraining.com for more info.
And by...
If you'd like to bring an internet connection to just about anywhere, we think it's safe to assume that enterprising isn't just limited to your sense of initiative, but we're betting there's a good chance you want to get heard yourself. Have we got a solution for you? We're publicwifi.company, and we'll ship a network device to you just about anywhere for $10. And you get ad campaigns over the entire network. You've got to learn more about this. Go to publicwifi.company and start connecting today.
Listening to CinemaJaw, the greatest movies podcast ever, recorded on location at the original Mother's Nightclub in Chicago. My name is Matt Kay, and with me is...
Ryan, the movie guy, and this week on CinemaJaw, Matt, we tie the knot as we cover our top three favorite movie married couples.
Right, I want a divorce from you.
That quick, huh?
Yeah.
It's only been 5 years.
It's over. Here's my ring.
And you would think I would be the one asking for a divorce at this point.
Yeah, why? Why is that, Ryan?
Because you're a jackass.
I am a jackass.
And you have terrible taste in movies.
I have good taste in beer and
shots.
And
that's about it. Is it? But we are covering our top three favorite married couples in movies because we have a married couple joining us who are reviewing movie and TV here in Chicago. We had John on earlier, but both John and Julie Hammerly are joining us. They have a blog here called Hammer Vision on Chicago Now. We also write periodically, but we got to keep up a little bit with the Hammer Vision.
I've been posting the episodes on Chicago Now. So
because we're lazy.
Yeah. I mean, well, we're not lazy. This podcast takes a lot of work.
It does take a lot of work.
So, you know, we're not bloggers. We're podcasters. They're bloggers.
And I can't wait till they get here, too, because I want to ask them how much time they spend blogging, because it's a lot of work. Obviously, I know how much work this podcast takes, and... If we want to write anything more, it even just seems more exhausting.
Right.
And these guys post almost daily on Chicago Now. It's amazing.
Well, you know, the thing that they have going for them is they can do it separately. They don't have to do it together in the same room. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they do. But, like, if we could do this not in the same room, Rye, wouldn't that be much better?
Oh, you're not kidding.
Yeah.
Don't have to smell your bad breath. Holy cow, that would be awesome.
No.
Obviously, we got a lot more than just our top three favorite married couples in movies. Matt, new movie out in theaters, getting a lot of rave reviews. I got out there and caught it. The Theory of Everything.
Cool.
And also, Eye for an Eye this week. I didn't think they would make a sequel to this movie. Horrible Bosses 2 is coming out in theaters.
Hmm. How about that?
Unbelievable, eh?
Yeah. Somebody was like, what's Jennifer Aniston doing? I don't know. Let's make another Horrible Bosses.
I love it. We'll see if anybody's interested in that one. And speaking of horrible bosses, I figured it would be fun for you to take on John and Julie in boss movie trivia.
Cool.
There's a lot of fun bosses out there.
Yeah, I feel confident. I feel confident.
And then also, the last but not least, we missed a little bit of news. Jason Bourne, Matt Damon, if you will, is coming back to play Jason Bourne.
Mm-hmm.
And we missed it because there was a big Star Wars announcement, and we sort of talked about that. And I thought, God.
There was a Star Wars announcement?
Yeah, here he goes again. He always plays this card.
What are you talking about?
But I did want to get to the point that I'm so upset that Matt Damon is coming back to play Jason Bourne. It's just absolutely idiotic at this point. It was a great series.
I think it's, No,
Matt.
It's a great idea.
Nope. Matt, it was a great series.
It was,
let it be.
It is.
It is over.
It's not. No, it is a great series.
It was.
No, it is.
Cinema War. Oh, boy. John and Julie are going to have their hands full there.
Yep.
As always, Matt, it is a jam-packed Cinema Jaw.
See, you play the same card, too, once in a while.
Don't I?
Yes.
So without further ado, we bring in John and Julie Hammerly. They write a blog on Chicago Now entitled Hammer Vision, covers both television and film. John, Julie, welcome to CinemaJaw.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Hey, guys.
I'm just going to get this out of the way. I forgot to ask you last time. Are you ever tempted to just say, like, when a really crappy movie comes out, it's hammer time?
You know, I've never done
get
that.
Get out. Come on.
No, I've never done that. Yeah.
No.
There's still time. I may do it now that you've brought that up.
You should.
It's done.
All right, good.
I'm doing it in my head right now.
It's hammer time.
You're going down, Jolie.
Now, John, you had joined us before. Julie, this is your first time on Cinema Jaw. And let's be honest, the first time we had heard of Hammer Vision, we were so stoked to get Julie on the Jaw. But it was John that came on the first time.
Burn.
But in all fairness, you guys both cover, like I had mentioned, TV and film. John, you actually sort of, if you had to say, you more lean towards film, Julie more towards television. Is that fair?
That's about right.
Yeah, definitely. Julie takes the bullet quite often in our family, where she'll stay home with the kids while I go to movies at 10 p.m. or midnight and get my fix. But she's definitely more TV, but we both like TV and movies. It's fair.
Yeah, we watch together, and I mean, before we had kids, we were seeing movies together a lot. Then once you have kids and you have to think about the babysitter situation, we don't get to go together as often. We're trying to do that more now, because we do reviews together. You'd asked if we write at the same time.
Yeah.
Only when we do the hammering out thing, where he'll start it, then I'll give my rebuttal, and we'll kind of go back and forth.
But do you do that in the same room? Like you're it's like dueling laptops, or like he writes his thing and then he emails it to you and then you write back, or how does that work?
We actually are in the same room when it happens. I'll be on the desktop, Julia will be on the laptop, and then when the other person is writing, we'll watch TV.
I'll watch like
room.
Two Broke Girls or something that you don't want to watch.
And so whatever Julie's watching usually informs her rating scale.
That's
at
true.
The end of the review. So if she's watching Two Broke Girls, it'll be like, I give it 2 Kat Dennings out of 3. And it makes no sense. But she loves it.
I feel like if I gave it a real rating, it would be meaningless. So I just kind of go with whatever. It means something to me.
Yeah, no,
if
like,
it means
yeah.
something to no one.
Kat Dennings is a perfectly good scale to write things out.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
For sure.
Now, at like the Golden Globes, for instance, they separate the movie stars from the television stars, and they make a big joke about it. Do you have that separation in the household? Because John's reviewing film, if you will, and Julie, you're just reviewing television.
I think the medium of television is well surpassed film at this point.
And wow.
As far as, you know, if you...
look at
what has come out so far this year.
America's Next Top Model scandal.
Yeah, totally surpassed.
Okay. No, that hurts. But anyway.
There's plenty of really crappy movies, in all fairness.
I know. That's what I was getting to. You have been talking about how bad some of the movies were this year. And then you look at like the television that we've seen, Fargo, Orange is the New Black. Like, there's a lot of really, really, really good television. There are some really bad movies. There's bad television as well. I would not include Top Model in that. That's genius. But there is bad television, of course.
Well, there's no denying that TV has made remarkable gains in terms of quality.
Sure. Yeah. Breaking Bad, Walking Dead, yep. All the stuff HBO does.
Yeah, and actors,
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, actors are flocking to TV now too because
it's a steady paycheck.
Mm-hmm. Steady paycheck.
There's no shame to it now. There's no stigma. You go to TV, you're going to do some prestige project and get an Emmy, and you're on your way to EGOT, and you know, there you go.
Yeah,
it's a good thing.
And I can't remember who said it, but like McConaughey got the Oscar for True Detective.
Yeah,
you know.
It helped him. It couldn't have hurt him.
Honestly, I think that's what he got the Oscar for. I mean, as much as his performance in
Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah, as much as that performance was amazing, everybody was thinking about True Detective when he walked up on that stage.
Well, I don't even know if it came out at that point. Had it or not?
It had. I mean,
That was at his role. I mean, it was unbelievable. What a peak it was.
Yeah, it was like the anti-Norbit. I mean, you guys remember when Eddie Murphy was Dreamgirls he did Norbit like in January? Oscar chances.
Sure did. I think it did hurt.
Yeah.
So back to with the Chicago Now blog. How long have you guys been writing on Chicago Now?
We started that almost 5 years ago, actually, I think, in January. And I was actually writing about American Idol. I started doing that back in 2006. I freelanced doing that for a little while. And then I heard about Chicago Now. I thought, this sounds like something we might like to do. So I just signed on for that. And it's been a really good experience. You get exposed to a lot of different people. And it's just fun to kind of cultivate a community to discuss Game of Thrones or whatever happens to be the topic of the week.
Sure. What I was discussing at the top was that me and Matt, obviously also bloggers, write for Chicago Now, but very seldom compared to you guys.
Because, we suck at it. Yeah. It's fair to say.
obviously, the podcast is our first and foremost, you know, love affair here. So we're doing everything we can to, you know, progress the podcast. But I know when I sit down to write a review to put out on the blog, it takes a little bit of time. You guys seem to have a knack, because I follow you guys, to almost put out something all the time. I mean, is there something that you watch, John or Julie, that you watch and you don't review? To me, seems like almost everything you guys see, you review, because they're coming out daily from one of you two.
Well, I mean, I tend to, like, if I have a bee in my bonnet about something, usually like something a celebrity did or something, I'll just churn something out really fast on that. I do try to write every week, every day, at least the weekdays, just because otherwise you do, like, forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
But TV wise, I only do Walking Dead right now. I was doing Scandal, but
recaps.
Yeah. But you know, that's basically kind of the nice thing about having your own blog, is you just do the show that you feel like writing about. And Walking Dead's the one for right now that I do like talking about. So I recap that one.
Well, and Julie does a good job of keeping it up more than I do every day. I mean, even if it's not movie TV related, she'll still write about it if she's got something to say about it. I tend to stick in my lane with movies. Reviews or summaries of all the rankings, superlatives of like the summer crop of films. I actually found that Twitter has taken away some of my blog reviewing, because it's so much easier to just go see a movie, get on Twitter,
put out a tweet,
140
done.
Characters, and you're like, well, that's basically all I had to say about the movie.
Right.
So that's good. If people want my reviews, they'll follow me, and nobody follows you. You know, like, tweets just go into the ether, and nobody sees them. But I think that has impacted the way I review. I don't know if you found that.
100%, I think, actually, too, because I used to write, obviously, before we started Cinema Jai, I wrote reviews. And two, I have to agree with you. When I come out of a movie, all I want to do is know what I'm going to say on Cinema Jaw about it, and then two, shoot out a couple of tweets, and I'm happy as hell with that, you know.
Yeah.
And again, we try our best to get Chicago Now. I do like the medium of putting it out there, but there's a lot of times you guys, I always think John steals ideas from my brain. We're like, me and Matt will like shoot a quick, you know, text, and we'll say something along the lines of like, oh man, let's put out our top 10 David Fincher films for Gone Girl. Let's just give a theory out there, and sure. Then next thing I know, I pull up Chicago Now, and there's Hammer Vision's top 10 films by David Fincher.
Yeah, we've
done what? That. They've already had it out there, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think we did that with the Ben Affleck as Batman, or like other people who should be Batman. Like, our post went up right at the same time, and you guys took a much funnier approach to it. I would say wasn't like Hulk Hogan one of the potential Batman replacements?
And I still think he'd be way better than Ben Affleck.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, and I saw Gone Girl, and I love Ben Affleck. I really do, but he's not Batman. He's just not Batman. Yeah. I don't get it.
I don't think it's that difficult of a role to play. We'll see. I think he can pull it off.
Okay. All right. Let's not get into the whole Batman debate here.
DC is very confident in it, though. It seems like they're...
What other position could they be?
They have to. They have to put the game face on and go against Marvel.
It's like they're all in, you know, in poker. They've pushed all their chips into the middle on Ben Affleck, and he better deliver.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm one of the few people that really liked Man of Steel.
Oof.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Give him hell, John.
You know what? I ultimately did not like Man of Steel.
That's
like
fair.
I liked
fine.
It in the theater, and then I
pour
saw it again
guys.
On Blu-ray, and I was like, nope, that's actually not good.
Right. Julie, go ahead. Pour it
well,
on.
Well, no, the thing I most hate about Man of Steel is I hated the whole movie while I was watching it, and then the stupid ending happens, and I'm like, well, I need to see the next one. So that's why I hate it.
You hated it?
Yeah, because stupid movie, I hated it. And then it has this cliffhanger where I'm like, well, I should probably see the next one. And then I'm like, I'm falling into their trap. They made a really garbage movie, and now I want to see the next one.
It wasn't garbage.
It was boring garbage.
No.
It was a yawn.
Wow,
it was 2 hours of yawn.
Sounds like a Hammer War.
It was one of the best Superman movies. They finally took the character seriously. It's like night and day to the Christopher Reeve stuff. That was like,
Matt, you're outnumbered here.
It was
please,
like Adam West playing.
Go
Batman.
Back into your little rabbit hole.
Anyway,
it's fine.
So I liked it.
Yeah,
Julie, I'm not up to date on the best of television. I think the best thing that I had saw as far as this year goes would be True Detective. Mm-hmm. What would you say is the top? Since we don't have a lot of TV critics on the show,
on currently, The Walking Dead has been awesome. Which I've been a huge critic of the show for a long time. I always want it to be really, really good, and it hasn't lived up to it, but I feel like this season it is. I'm really enjoying that. I loved Orange is the New Black, which I mentioned before.
Is it in season three now?
No, season two just aired this summer. I love Game of Thrones. What?
Well, I got to throw out a shout to Fargo.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a huge Fargo. Breaking was good, Bad huh? was always my favorite. Yeah. And Fargo is like the new heir apparent to the Breaking Bad, like, kind of vibe, I feel like. Yeah. It was way better than it should have been, given that it's a adaptation of the Coen brothers movie.
Yeah.
You're like, well, that's got to suck.
And what station does Fargo air on? Is that AMC?
FX.
Or?
FX.
Oh, that's FX?
Yeah.
Okay. I have not seen it.
No, I haven't seen it either.
Yeah. And it's kind of like True Detective. It's a self-contained, like, season where they'll season two will be totally different with new characters and all that. But
does it all take place in Fargo, I'm guessing?
It does not, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, neither did the movie.
That's true.
Yeah.
True. Also, I wanted to ask about American Horror Story, because that's one that changes all the time. Cast of characters, anyways. I mean, the characters change, but the actors are the same. This year, what is it, Freak Show?
Freak Show is the current iteration.
Is that up there with the past American Horror Stories? Because I have not seen it.
I have not. I've never watched American Horror Story. Honestly, he's watched some of it.
Yeah,
yeah. I kind of jumped ship after the first season. I think I watched most of all the first season.
Yeah,
and then a couple episodes of the second, and then was done with it.
Wow.
I think
too scary for you.
Too so scary.
Yes, it was. You watch it?
No, I don't.
Oh, it's not scary at all.
It's not that scary.
It's campy. Yeah. It was a little too campy for me.
Well, especially the first season. The second one that takes a place at the hospital, Asylum, I believe is the name of it.
Yes.
A little bit better. It was a little bit scarier.
Okay.
Yeah. I enjoyed that one probably a heck of a lot more than I did the first.
So are you keeping up with Freak Show?
I don't have cable, so I'm way behind on everything that airs. I catch up on everything streaming 2 years later.
Well, it'll be interesting to see, like, with HBO Go separating itself.
I'm super excited.
And CBS having a pay-per-view package. Like, is cable going the way of the dinosaur? And are people just going to be, like, pick their own channels?
Mm-hmm. And a la carte, right?
A la carte, yeah.
Yeah. I already buy my own shows, you know, to stream. So I was, like, a Boardwalk Empire fan, mm-hmm. or I'm a Mad Men guy, or a Breaking Bad. I buy those season passes through Vudu or, you know, Matt,
iTunes,
I think you do it on iTunes or whatever the streaming service that you use. And I just stream it at home. Yeah, it's a day later than, but I'm up to date with, you know, most people DVR stuff anyways. So you can buy it and just basically watch it as is.
Yeah, I predicted this like 5 years ago that this was going to happen.
Oh, I predicted this 5 years.
And another,
ball.
In five more years, theaters.
Let me shake
gone.
My eight ball.
Yeah. At least drastically changed.
What? Did you just say theaters?
Yes. Yeah, that's my prediction.
Man. We've had this argument before. He's a jackass at that point.
I think you're probably both right. I think we'll lose half of the theaters that are currently out there. But the theater system will still be in existence.
As I've tried to explain to Matt, for no other point than people want to get out and gather.
That's true.
I mean, it would be, I was telling him, it would be such a sad point in our humanity if all of a sudden movie theaters got what will we do together to get together for dates, talk to each other through computers? It's already getting to that.
You're right. I mean, because everybody's buying their Christmas gifts through Amazon, but we still have malls. So I mean, you got a point.
All right, now this is a trick question. I shouldn't say a trick question, tricky question, because I'm putting you on the spot here, Julie. A lot of as you mentioned, movie stars jumping to television, obviously Matthew McConaughey and others. Who's the best performance that you've seen of a movie star do something wonderful on television?
Wow. That's a good question. There have been some really, really good ones. Of course, it goes right to Game of Thrones. Like, I love Sean Bean jumping to that. I mean, he wasn't a huge star necessarily, but
we got to know him in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Right.
But to see, and spoiler alert, I mean, just everything that happened in that season, and they had this giant star, and then he's not there at the end of the season was a bit groundbreaking, I think.
That was a moment.
Yeah. I think that right now, television is just such a good avenue for especially female stars that should, if you're having trouble finding something in movies, you know, do a Claire Danes and find your homeland, and which is another really good example of somebody who's done that. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that one, too?
I'll probably toot the Fargo horn again. Oh, I thought Billy Bob Thornton was awesome in it.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of like an Anton Chigurh, No Country for Old Men vibe, but that same kind of humorous, pure evil delectably like evil, you know, like he really was having fun in the role, which is a, like kind of a joy to see, which yeah. he hasn't been on screen in a while. I think he was in The Judge, but like he hasn't been doing a lot. To see him like tear into a role, I thought was kind of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It is. So for the Jawheads listening to this that want to get like a married person's perspective, a married couple, you guys do television, movies, and people can read this, even though you guys do Chicago Now in Chicago, you can read it all around the country. So for the best place for the Jawheads to find you guys online?
ChicagoNow.com / HammerVision. And Julie is a frequent tweeter, I guess. Tweeter. Sorry. She's at Julie Hammerly, and I'm at HammerVision, appropriately enough. So those are probably the best avenues.
Well done, guys.
No, it's definitely, I follow you guys both on Twitter, and I love getting all the reactions of like, because I don't watch a lot of television, I see a lot of Julie's tweets pop up in my timeline like, oh, something big happened Game of Thrones, you know?
It's the new water cooler. Yep. Like we don't have that necessarily anymore, but you get on Twitter at 8 o'clock on a Thursday night, everybody's going to be talking about Scandal. Like it's going to be just right. lots and lots of Scandal. And it's fun because you do have people to talk about it then, because if no one else in your life is watching Scandal,
it depends on your then feed. I'm not getting any Scandal tweets in my feed. I think I've weeded those out. We have very different feeds.
You muted
I think.
Scandal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. So see, Jawheads, you'd like to hear this perspective. So check out HammerVision on ChicagoNow.com. Me and Matt are obviously there also. We'll have a link in the show notes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks for hanging out on Cinema Job. I'm finally glad we got a married couple on Cinema Job, Matt.
This is going to be fun.
It is. Boy, they'll be hanging out with us this entire John. It brings us to a segment called Eye for an Eye. Interest or Ignore an Eye for an Eye is sponsored by
Ken's Anglers.
Tell me more.
Corporate fly fishing trips in Colorado are the hot item for 2015. Corporate fly fishing trips are a great option for team bonding events. It's time for your team to retire their business suits for a while and surround themselves with unforgettable and breathtaking nature, as well as some adrenaline-pumping fly fishing action. The team at Ken's Anglers has years of professional experience as anglers and guides. Corporate fly fishing trips is where Ken Anglers excels. Please contact them with any questions or simply check out their website at www.kens-anglers.com to book your corporate fly fishing trip today. You can also reach them at 303-501-5247 or email kenroback@comcast.net. And we thank them for their support.
Eye for an Eye this week, Matt. Horrible Bosses 2. Dale, Kurt, and Nick decide to start their own business, but things don't go as planned because of a slick investor, prompting the trio to pull off a harebrained and misguided kidnapping scheme. Jason Bateman, Charlie Day, and Jason Sudeikis, as also, I should mention, Jamie Foxx and Jennifer Aniston. This time around, too, Matt, Chris Pine and Christoph Waltz also join the fun. Matt, interested or ignore on Horrible Bosses, too?
I didn't see the first one, but I kind of wanted to, and that cast is actually good. I don't know. I'm not really interested. Ignore.
We throw it over to Julie. Interested or ignore on Horrible Bosses, too?
I fell asleep during the first one. I do love Chris Pine and Christoph Waltz, but I'm going to ignore it.
Wow. We throw it over to John. Interest or ignore on Horrible Bosses, too?
Well, I was just burned by another sequel, Dumb and Dumber 2, so I'm a little hesitant to do this. But I'm going to say interest for two reasons, or two words, Jason Bateman.
Well done, well done. And I'm actually going to join him on the interested bandwagon.
I was right on the
fence. Because of Mr. Bateman. And I love Christoph Waltz. I'm excited to see him in a sort of a comedic role that I think could be a little bit better than he was in that movie with Kate Winslet. It's a one-word title.
Who, Christoph Waltz?
Yeah, Christoph Waltz. It was John C. Reilly, Kate Winslet. Throw it in the Jawbox. I forget the name of it. Elias looked that one up at the break. But the comedy wasn't really there. It was more of sort of like a dramedy. Jodie Foster was also in the movie. Oh, boy. Elias will look it up in the break. But I would like to see him in there. I was shocked by how good Horrible Bosses was. I didn't fall asleep at it. I remember going into it thinking, there's nothing here. But it ended up, they made something of it. So I'm giving this one an interested.
Did you guys see the Jason Bateman film Bad Words?
I have not seen that yet.
Did you see it?
I've seen it, yeah.
I thought it was surprisingly good.
Yeah.
For a vanity project.
Yeah, because he directed it. Yeah. And yeah, it was a little
I think we've kind of
seen it before.
Yeah,
like it was kind of Bad Santa-ish, but not as profane, I guess.
Right.
But
I think it was unapologetic in the sense that it was a vanity project. It's like, I just want to do this.
Yeah.
And but it was good, though.
It's perfect for Bateman.
Yeah.
And the rule is, go see Bateman in anything he does. Maybe that's just my rule. I don't know.
I love Bateman as well, so I'm excited to see it.
You'd like it.
Yeah. All right. There we go. We got two ignores, two interesteds, four.
That sounds about right.
Horrible Bosses, yeah. Too. Mm-hmm. I agree. Actually, we nailed it, I think.
Yeah, totally.
Speaking of new movies, I got out and caught The Theory of Everything.
Leave me now.
Are you going to talk about this or not?
Please, you just go.
Is that what you want?
Yes, it is what I want, so please, if you care about me at all, then please just go.
I can't.
I have 2 years to live. I need to work.
I love you.
You've left her, that's a false conclusion.
I want us to be together for as long as we've got, and if that's not very long, well, then that's just how it is. It'll have to do.
You don't know what's coming. It'll affect everything.
Your glasses are always dirty. There. That's better, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Matt, there are many things that I liked about The Theory of Everything, but probably nothing more than the extremely strong performances from the two lead actors. Eddie Redmayne, best known for Les Mis, plays physicist Stephen Hawking, while Felicity Jones, best known for Like Crazy, plays Hawking's wife, Jane. The film is based on Jane Hawking's book, Traveling to Infinity, My Life with Stephen. It tells the story of Hawking's life from when he was a student at Cambridge to the time when he was the most recognized physicist in the world. I love the aspect of seeing a young Stephen Hawking before ALS confined him to a wheelchair. In fact, I loved learning about his life, Matt, in general, because as famous as he is, I actually knew very little about him. I cannot say enough good things about Redmayne's performance. Not only did he have to convince us that he had ALS, but there are also key emotional moments captured that he must convey by nothing more than a facial expression. The most difficult aspect of his performance has to be the scenes when Hawking was shown with just the early signs of ALS and not yet in a wheelchair. Very brave acting and very worthy of the Oscar nomination he will receive. I was deeply moved a couple of times throughout the movie. After Hawking is diagnosed, he can either give up and die depressed or continue to use his brilliant brain to explore more scientific theories. We see how struggling to overcome a disease, or any conflict for that matter, can motivate a person even more. We see how important courage is. And that not only shines through in Stephen, but also his wife Jane, who made the decision to take life's journey with Stephen, even knowing the challenges ahead. And finally, the message, science versus religion, is handled with such care. Hawking early on was determined to prove there was no God, but through his life's struggle with everything that was going on with him, he ultimately comes to the understanding of why humans have a need for God and religion. This is not a complicated equation for moviegoers. See it for the performances alone. Ride the Movie Guy's grade, a solid 3 Jaws.
Wow. You guys haven't seen this one yet?
No.
Not yet. I'm wondering this, having not seen it, but did you find that is that focus on the love story? Because if you know how it really pans out in real life.
They always do that. Every biopic.
They get I don't want to spoil it for anybody. It's out there, but they get divorced.
Right.
And then he leaves her for his nurse. Yes. Yeah.
So, like, is the romance played up to a degree where you're like, well ultimately, that's kind of BS.
Yeah, well, I think it was sort of an honest portrayal of it. And it's interesting that we're covering, marriage and our favorite marriage couples. You know, I think here it plays pretty well because I do think she obviously wrote the book, and it's from her perspective of sort of taking on the challenges. She he's not in a wheelchair. He had just gotten diagnosed with ALS. They meet, and she sort of decides, I actually do love you, and I do want to, you know, if it means marriage and, you know, going along the whole way. And at that point, he was only diagnosed was 2 years to live. So it was sort of like daunting, and the family was sort of talking her out of it, and she sort of decided to go with it, is at least the story is portrayed. So it's sort of a beautiful love story at the beginning. But there's also this character of he's a preacher at church that plays in the choir that she meets that starts to sort of take care of Steve Hawkins and the kids when he's in the wheelchair. And also out there, it's public that he had actually ended up marrying Jane after Stephen and Jane got divorced. Mm-hmm. So there's sort of a romance between those two as well. Okay. It's not that just Stephen just dumped her for the nurse.
Okay.
I think it's very a complicated, you know, situation.
Yeah. Sure.
But at the heart of it is the idea that they were still trying to make it all work, and that you can still love each other even at the point where it wasn't working romantically anymore, and it was obviously very difficult on Jane, and Stephen's in a wheelchair.
Yep.
They have three kids and really almost four kids in the sense of taking care of
Stephen. Yeah,
it's very difficult, and then when this guy comes along to sort of help out, I mean, as far as the movie is portrayed, is that, you know, Stephen was very welcoming of, he understood that if Jane was to care for this guy in any other fashion than, you know, friendship, it was actually sort of okay in his mind.
Okay.
You know,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Hawking.
I am too.
I've read his books and stuff.
Well, you know what was great,
difficult to understand. I mean, they're, you know, obviously pretty deep stuff.
It is. And I thought it was awesome seeing it right after Interstellar. It sounds odd to say that this movie is a companion piece to Interstellar, but away.
It makes sense. It makes complete sense.
It really does. They start talking about space-time and time travel and time being sort of this dimension. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, here we are again. He was talking about this, you know, in the 70s and, you know, so forth. It was awesome.
A lot of the things that were like just like the facts in Interstellar are things that Stephen Hawking wrote first, you know?
I agree.
Yeah, so.
So, makes very sense. Interesting.
And Jaden Smith and Willow Smith bringing it all back.
That's right.
As well.
They're giving the theory of everything right there.
But I got to throw it around round robin here.
Sure.
Dead or alive on Stephen Hawking? I had no idea.
He's alive.
He's alive.
Okay, you guys all knew this. I really went into the movie thinking, I'm pretty sure he passed away. But no.
He was just on John Oliver.
Oh,
like,
so you guys know.
Yeah.
Okay. I was not up to date with my Stephen Hawking.
He's a good candidate for that game, though.
Yeah,
I feel like very much.
Unless you saw the recent news interviews for the movie, you'd be like, maybe he is dead.
Yeah,
he's certainly outlived everybody's expectations.
That is true.
You know, even his own. Have you guys seen that epic rap battles of history with Stephen Hawking versus Albert Einstein?
Yes,
no.
It's my favorite one.
That's an awesome time suck. That whole series.
Oh, it
once
is.
Once you watch one, they're like Pringles. Once you pop one, you can't stop.
You just go straight down that hole.
Yep.
All right, before we get to our married couples, which I do want to get to, we had mentioned Horrible Bosses 2 out in theaters, with Jason Bateman is in it, and I thought it would be fun if we went round robin and describe Jason Bateman in three words or less. John, I'm going to start you off, put you on the hot chair. You got three words or less that describe Jason Bateman.
Dry, sarcastic, straight.
I'll give him that one. I'll give him that one.
And that's for straight man.
Straight man.
He's usually the straight man.
Or I picked up on it.
Okay, good.
Julie, what do you got?
Valerie's family son.
Wow.
And I say that in the,
nice,
with the most respect.
Well,
I
done.
Like it.
Fact.
Here's one Julie will like. Justine Bateman's brother.
Yes.
Nice.
Little family ties for you.
I'm going to go best Bluth ever.
He ties it all together.
He does. I love the Bluths over in Arrested Development. So
he did a lot on TV. He really he was a TV guy for a long time.
He did. Now we threw this question out onto Twitter to the Jawheads, Matt.
I forgot one. How about Teen Wolf 2?
Oh yeah,
I just thought of that one.
Nice.
All right, I don't think anybody has that here in the tweets. Jay Bose, who is the same on Twitter, said forever a Bluth, agrees with you, Rye. Oh crap, I did steal one. At Menavem said Teen Wolf 2.
Yeah.
Sorry, Menavem. Got that one. True Bromance Podcast, who's the same, said, aging like wine. He has gotten better and better with age. Really digging anything he's in these days. It's more than three words, but I'd say that's pretty accurate.
How about Paul Anka's son-in-law? He's also that.
Wow.
If you put the hyphens in there, right?
Yeah, that's the hyphen. It's one word, son-in-law.
Good.
Donnie Rad, this guy's always chiming in. I'm not sure who he is. Said, "Hard luck, every man. Relatable, agreeable, DILF." DILF. Dad, I'd like to
yeah.
fuck.
Yeah, but Donnie would say that?
Well, Donnie said it.
Yeah. Donnie's Elias's
Thanks,
brother.
Donnie.
Yeah, that's my brother, in case everybody doesn't know.
Kevin Crichton, who is KJ Crichton on Twitter, said, "The legend Pepper Brooks of ESPN 8. That was
The Ocho.
Dodgeball.
Was it Dodgeball?
Oh,
okay,
so.
I was going to say Anchorman.
God, I loved him in Dodgeball. Yeah, that was great. Awesome. I didn't get that tweet at all, but okay yeah,
now
I understand
you get it.
Now, yeah.
John Gilpatrick, who is the same on Twitter, said, "Jason Bateman, man."
That's it.
That's it. Three words.
There you go.
There you go. I love it. Jason Bateman, man, is a great tweet. Yeah.
Yeah. It's done.
He's a cool guy.
He is a very cool guy. He's a man's man. Although, did you see that documentary he did with, was it Paul Rudd, about manscaping?
Oh, it was Will Arnett.
Yeah, it was
Will Arnett. He hosted, and wasn't it like a Morgan Spurlock movie, too?
Yeah, yeah.
Mansom, that's what it was. I did see it, yeah.
It was horrible.
Pretty worthless.
Yeah, pretty worthless. Come on, baby,
right.
Step it up on that one.
All right, it brings us to our top three married couples in movies. Matt, you're getting us started this week.
All right.
And don't tell me that Evil Dead had a married couple, because I'll strangle you right now.
I worked really hard to leave Bill and Ted off this list, but I do have two guys at number three. It is Robin Williams and Nathan Lane in The Birdcage.
That's a good one. Okay. Approved.
I don't know what it is. I think that it may have been one of the most mainstream, the first time we saw a gay couple in the mainstream on the silver screen. I'm sure that there had been others before those two, but probably not as high caliber of actors, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Really different role for Robin, too, right?
Really?
Like, he's very subdued.
I would say that was kind of a different role for, well, I guess Nathan Lane is kind of always that character, isn't he?
But Robin was kind of the straight man in that.
Yeah,
with
the straight man and the gay couple.
The straight man and the gay couple, yeah.
He was. Although, I don't know, is that so different for Robin Williams? Because he's been the straight man. I mean, in Good Will Hunting and, you know, to a lesser degree in some other roles. I'm trying to think of another one.
But comedies, though. I mean, I'm trying to think of a comedy where he played that sort of subdued character to somebody else's.
Yeah, I think, like,
zany, yeah.
As of 96, you know, like, we're talking Mrs. Doubtfire and Aladdin, and he totally would have been the Nathan Lane role in any other movie, you know?
Right,
like at that time, he hadn't done Good Will Hunting yet. He totally would have been, like, the flamboyant, like, over-the-top character. That would have been the easy casting, the stereotype, I think, to give Robin Williams to Nathan Lane.
I think that's probably one of the reasons why it's such a great, memorable role for him. So, anyway, I like the movie. I like those two as a married couple. I thought it was good that it was culturally different and probably opened a lot of people's eyes up to, you know, the fact that two men can be married, and it's, you know, pretty much the exact same relationship. So that's why I picked that one at number three.
Wow. Cool. Matt always shocks us every once in a while.
Once in a while.
Yeah, once every 1.5 years.
How about
it's spectacular. We throw it over to Julie. What do you got sitting at number three?
This was like the hardest thing ever, is finding married couples in movies, because usually it's, you know, the hookup or the breakup.
So, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. So my number three is one that didn't last the film, but they were so adorable at the beginning of it. It's Sherry Ann Cabot and Leslie Ward Cabot from Best in Show, because they love talking and not talking, and they could talk and not talk about soup forever. And I just thought that they were so adorable. So that's why I went with that one. They break up by the end, but, you know.
I love Best in Show, and I exactly get what you're talking about. When I was doing the research, it's so, usually movies are about hooking up,
boy meets
married.
Girl,
or the destruction of it, and everybody's sad. It's a drama. But to find a happy couple throughout, I thought it was a bit tricky.
It is a bit tricky, yeah. And I came across a lot of actor and actresses who were married and in the same film.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll get to some of those.
I asked on Facebook, you know, like, I was like, help me out here. Give me some movies. And one of my friends is like, I thought I'd come up. I'd be like, oh, I'll give you five. And he's like, I thought of one. It was a tough little assignment, but I'm sure you got a bunch
of them. Top three.
Yeah. All right, John, what do you got sitting at three?
I have three. Okay. So my third would be actually Adam and Barb Maitland from Beetlejuice.
Okay.
Nice.
awesome.
Which is Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis, as we know. You know, they. I guess I picked them because, you know, they say that the till death do you part. Well, they've died and they're still together, and they actually have a very sweet relationship in that movie. They're very codependent, and what I really like about the movie is that at the beginning they're very insular and kind of tied up in their own world and not very social and kind of geeky outcasts.
Yeah,
and it takes death. And Beetlejuice and Lydia to kind of bring them out of their shell. Like at that point, then they're social and they're actually living a full life, I think, after they've died, which is just a cool commentary about.
Well, I never dug that deeply into Beetlejuice, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah. So that would be my number three pick.
It's a nice pick. Beetlejuice just came up another time, just a couple episodes ago.
What the hell were we talking about?
I forget,
about?
But it's amazing how that movie pops up. I love it. It had something to do with Michael Keaton.
It was, yeah, we were because we were talking about Birdman.
Yeah, nice pick.
Yeah, nice. I like that one.
Didn't think about it at all.
No, that's
no,
a good one.
I love it. My number three comes from a 2010 film. The couple is Dean and Cindy, played by Ryan Gosling, Michelle Williams in Blue Valentine.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, man. That's a good one. That's a rough movie.
It is a rough movie, but here's why I love it, too. It's raw and an honest look at a couple falling in love, intertwined with them sort of breaking up and having the struggle. And they don't necessarily break up at the end. There's obviously a fight at the end, and she wants her space or so forth, and he's sort of seen walking away at the end of the movie. So it sort of leaves hope that maybe they will get back together. But I love the idea because there obviously is that sort of courtship that we're going to fall in love with someone. And those are the good times, right? We're all going to have this. But it's how do you sustain it? And I don't know. I thought it was a very honest look at trying to, you know, still have fun as a couple, the sacrifices that you made and everything that sort of underlines the arguments going into it. Because it's so easy to just have a on-screen argument without the underlying fact of, like, what this guy gave up or what she gave up or what they went through as a couple. I thought it was a phenomenal movie.
I think it's awesome that you took it that the ending you took away that there's hope there.
There is,
because I left it with devastated. Like, their relationship was so sweet in the beginning, and it becomes so toxic. And you see them try their hardest to make it work. They have that scene at a hotel where they get away and try to make it work, and then at the end, it's like they can't make it work. And there's they're in love, but the relationship is toxic and past the prime. So I walked away thinking they were done.
Right.
And it's just funny that we had completely opposite takeaways from that.
But I remember I reviewed it on CinemaJohn. I was so upset. I saw it in the theater, and people were like walking away when the credits were playing. And if you remember, the credits were sort of their silhouettes being blown up with the fireworks, and there were credits. It was probably the most emotional scene in the entire movie because he was walking away from the car.
I remember you talking about this.
It was awesome. And part of me was taking away from that was like, you know what? While I was watching the credits is when it hit me. I thought, well, there's still hope for him. They may probably still get back together because we all have these fights. We have these moments where you can end everything. But these two were clearly in love, and they wanted to be together. So maybe, you know, there was hope for him.
Yeah. Look at that. Rye the movie guy is an optimist.
Such a romantic.
You're just finding that out now, Matt, after 5 years?
I guess so.
Oh, boy.
See? Just goes to show couples can continue to learn about one another.
All right. We're into our twos. What do you got sitting there, buddy?
At number two, a movie that just came out, and I think probably a lot of people didn't see this one, and I think that's a mistake. If you get a chance, it was the name of the movie was Only Lovers Left Alive, Tom Hiddleston and Tilda Swinton as eternal lovers.
Wow.
Vampires. They've been together for decades, centuries. They've been together so long, and yet somehow they managed to keep their relationship fresh, which includes long stints apart, like continents apart. But then they get back together, and you could tell they're so in love, and they're so happy to be in one another's company. And he shows her around a decaying Detroit, and the scene where she crosses...
And it's actually romantic.
It is kind of romantic. And the scene where she crosses his threshold, and they have that weird little, like, sort of a tradition or whatever it is, like, where he takes her glove off, and she says, may I come in? Just these little touches in their relationship made it so... It gave it depth. I really liked it. And I thought they were great chemistry on screen, too. Did you guys see this?
Yeah,
I just watched it recently, and I think what you've nailed it. Like, there's a relaxed like love between them, where you can be apart and then come together, and it's like no time has passed. And yet there was a familiarity with each other,
sure.
and a comfort, and I liked it, yeah. I think it's a good choice.
And the ending scene, I remember remarking how wonderful it was, because they're sitting on that sort of like stoop, and they see this other couple sort of falling in love under the moonlight.
Yeah.
And two, you have this idea that they're vampires, and they may just go kill them, and that's sort of the joy.
Yep.
But at the same time, it's sort of that they're rekindling why they love each other, that, you know, that when love is in the air, life has a reason to go on, because he was so sort of depressed. And that ending scene was fantastic.
You could tell throughout the movie, like, it was such a palpable love, like the respect they had for one another and the things about each other that they liked. It was really very well done by Jim Jarmusch. I like this
Shockingly, two great picks by Matt at this
How about
point.
That?
I don't know if it's ever happened on Cinema Jaw.
My number
ever.
One is Bill and Ted.
Yes. We throw it over to Julie. What do you got sitting at number two?
My number two is one that did not last long into the film, but Carl and Ellie in Up is just one of the most adorable love stories ever put on screen, and it's so heartbreaking. I mean, anybody that's seen that movie, you're sobbing like 10 minutes into the film. But they just were so loved and respected each other, and they had, you know, just their entire relationship is just laid out for you in a music montage in the beginning of the film, and it's gorgeous. So
gorgeous and heartbreaking.
Oh my God.
Man.
I remember just watching that with my kids and be like, how are you not crying right now? How are you not a puddle?
They just don't have the depth of experience.
No, not yet.
This is at a point where the kids are just running around bored and you're
like,
sobbing,
the balloons?
Right?
Balloons. I was promised balloons.
Not miscarriage.
Yeah, I don't care about these nonsense.
It was unexpectedly deep for a Pixar movie. I mean, not that they don't get deep, but that was real deep.
Real heart, really deep.
Yeah.
Just a model like storytelling too. Like 10 minutes. You don't have to do much, but you convey like a whole life's worth without any dialogue.
It was
very well done.
Yeah.
Good choice.
Awesome pick. John, what do you got sitting there?
I'm going animated again. I was tempted to do all three animated.
You did not pick the one that
I thought you'd pick another animated after Up. You got any guess, Matt?
Another with a married couple.
Wow.
I know
Buzz,
what it's going to be.
I've got two.
Buzz and Woody.
Buzz and Woody.
Is it the? I know what it is.
Don't guess yet.
Okay,
my number two is Roger and Jessica Rabbit from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
You are like the king of picking awesome picks today.
Wow!
Talk about opposites attract. I had such a crush on Jessica Rabbit. I'm gonna come right out and say it right now. When I was 10. Jessica Rabbit was the bomb.
I knew there was something weird about you.
I think I learned to become a man watching Who Framed
Obviously
Roger
who
Rabbit.
He married. It makes sense.
A spitting image.
Spot on.
Yeah. I've been called Jessica Rabbit so many times. Okay.
I just like that. That's a relationship on paper that should not work at all. And yet, and nobody buys that it works in the movie either. And yet, between Roger and Jessica, they got it figured out, I think. So, kudos on them. So that's my number two.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
Oh, I just recently rewatched
it. Again. Yeah,
it's so good.
It holds up.
It does. You know what made me want to rewatch it was the Congress. How she goes into that animated zone. So I was like, I'm going to go rewatch Roger Rabbit. So I very recently resaw it, and I think there are some special effects that don't hold up, but the animation all looks great. And and I love the relationship. You're absolutely right, Roger and Jessica.
Nice pick.
Well,
I'm shocked the creativity of this list so far. This is awesome. At number two, I hate to bring things down to a sad level here.
It's going to be Kate and Leo.
Oh my
God.
They weren't married, Matthew. These are married couples.
Thank God. If they were married, it'd be on your list.
No, because I got to mention, Matt's naming all these couples throughout the show as a joke, and none of them have been married. I have no idea what you're talking about, Bill and Ted. All right, here we go. My number two came out in 2012, won the Academy Award for Best Foreign Film. I'm speaking of Amour.
Oh, yeah. A good choice.
These are depressing.
These are very depressing, but good choice.
Yeah. All right.
And that's all we need to say about that.
Yes, exactly. Well, really quick, if Jawheads have not seen it, Anne and George are the couple. Emmanuel Riva was nominated for Academy Award. Yeah. I thought she was robbed, actually, by Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes.
Because I think if you watched it. And
so does Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, she's like, I didn't deserve that.
I think if you watched it, in all fairness, and we're judging on the actual performance and not, you know, who's the up-and-coming star, you know, everybody would have gave it to Emmanuel Riva, I believe. That's just me talking. Here we go. But I would say elderly couple always strikes me when you see them. They've obviously have sustained this marriage together. They've been together for a long time. There's a lot there, a history. She suffers a stroke. It's just a sad thing to think what's going to happen when this person's, you know, not in my life. And I don't know. There's such a emotional connect when you see these two on screen. And I know they're actors, but I feel when I'm watching it, maybe part of it is too that I'm watching a foreign film. I always feel that I don't know the actors, so I feel even more like I'm watching
a slice of life. Yeah,
absolutely. And I'm watching, I'm like, oh my God, this is just absolutely heartbreaking. Yeah. Such a powerful film. And
I still haven't seen it.
Yeah,
I got to catch it's up wonderful. On that one.
Yeah,
it's Michael Haneke.
Yeah,
right? Haneke.
Yeah. Yeah. He's great on Twitter, too. He's got a lot of funny tweets.
Is he?
Really?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Check him out.
There's a slap in the face in that movie, too. Do you know which part I'm talking
sure.
about? Which is, like, shocking.
Right.
You know, like, he has one of those moments in every movie.
Yep.
But there's just a simple slap in the face that will startle you as a viewer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those, too, where it's like, this is an obviously very well-to-do couple, but their apartment is so dirty. And it's like, this is an independent film. We have to have a dirty apartment. It's like, these people have money. They have a cleaner coming in there.
Oh, God, that reminds me of another...
good call.
Did you guys see Cutie and the Boxer? I hate to take us off on a tangent.
No.
Speaking of it, I think it won the Academy Award for Best...
It did not.
No. Well,
it was nominated.
It was nominated, yeah. It was really
it did not.
They were.
I'd remember Cutie and the Boxer winning.
They were dirty. They had like just a layer of filth in their apartment. It's worth watching. Interesting doc about a married couple.
All right, we're into our number ones. We have not crossed over yet. Matt, what do you
got? All right, this may be pandering, guys, but I genuinely think that since we're in Chicago and this was an amazing movie, my couple is a real life couple from a documentary. Roger and Chaz Ebert.
Nice. Wow.
Oh,
I mean,
that.
So, yeah. And listen, taking all of the Chicago connection and the movie critic connection out of the picture, here's a man who became very ill, and he was definitely not a perfect guy, but Chaz stuck with him and really sort of their relationship is probably why he continued to survive for as long as he did. And you know, they're definitely not your very stereotypical couple. He was a rich white guy, and she was a black woman. And so everybody, both sides of their families were like, what are you guys doing together? And somehow they bucked the odds and they said, you know, screw you guys. We love each other. We don't care what you think. And they became a very famous and happy couple. And that's why I picked it. Number one.
I have to say, yeah, unbelievable. Matt, I'm going to give you a quick comment here.
Good
since,
list.
Since we've been doing Cinema Jaw, this is your best list
wow.
that you've ever had.
Wow. Right. Should have done top five.
Yeah. Holy yeah. cow. Yeah. Wow.
That?
Wow.
Maybe it's because of the three. You could really like harness your energy.
Oh, yeah. That could be yeah. it. Just keeping it concise.
Yeah. That was a fantastic, fantastic list. Great movie, too. If you haven't seen it, it's
great movie.
On video, on demand.
Yeah.
Life itself. And not only because we're Chicagoans and not only because we're film critics. I think just in general, if you take a step back from that, it's a wonderful film and a struggle of one man who is not going to let this terrible disease cripple him.
And an amazing man, too. I mean,
I agree.
Amazing.
Even if he hadn't become afflicted, he was still pretty cool dude, you know.
Awesome. Yeah. Julie, can you follow that up? What is your number one?
I'm also gonna bring it down. I think all of my couples ended up breaking up by the end of the movie.
John, so you should be listening to this.
But one, I'm going back to one of my all time favorite movies, that, you know, actually no matter what relationship you are in currently, what stage of the relationship you're in, there's something in this movie for everyone. And so it's Emma Thompson and Alan Rickman from Love Actually, which is a horribly sad relationship in the movie. I mean, she thinks that everything is fine. He's pursuing this chippy at his work. And it's sort of, you know, it blindsides her. He gives her a CD when he gives the other girl a necklace, and it's just, it's horribly sad. And I kind of feel like my daughter who loves to watch babies cry, but I love watching this because, like, Emma Thompson is just so raw in this movie. Alan Rickman, I have to go watch Snape after it just to, like, get good feelings back about him, but...
wow, if Snape brings the good feelings back.
I love Snape is yikes. Everything. It just, as far as, like, a... realistic. I mean, this woman thinks that her life is fine, everything is going well, and then is blindsided by this. And it's not like, not necessarily the worst thing that could happen to you, your husband wanting to put his dingle in somebody else. But it's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's definitely not a good
thing. Oh my.
But it's pretty bad. But you, but
putting your dingle in
other people. But it's, you know, the fact that it's two awesome actors dealing with this, it's awesome.
Yeah. I got to be honest. I actually hate the movie.
Stop.
Yes. There's way too much going on in that movie for me to care of any one of the little storylines that they have.
Have you always hated it? Or did you hate it after it became like a thing?
Well,
like,
I didn't even realize that it became a thing until I started hating. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a thing. Matt, it is a thing. And what happened was I saw it the first time. I thought, well, it was okay. And I literally went back and watched it like, oh, this is supposed to be pretty good. And I was like, what was I thinking? This is just a load of crap. And then like right after that was like when I started seeing people like Love Actually, it would pop up on people's lists. I thought, what? Did I watch the wrong movie? There is one saving grace in here, and that's Keira Knightley looks absolutely gorgeous in this movie.
She does. And
when doesn't she look?
I know, but she looks absolutely stunning in here.
This
if I had to pick her
news.
Best,
if Keira Knightley looks good.
But if I had to pick her best, it's in that movie. She looks stunning in this movie.
She does.
But everything else in that, Hugh Grant, he plays like the prime minister.
Can I just say I can't stand Hugh Grant?
Oh,
I really
like
hate
Hugh
it.
Grant.
Oh my
Bite
god!
Your tongue. I
love
like Hugh Grant.
Really?
But he's not good in this movie.
About a boy, Hugh Grant, like when it turned and he became kind of a jackass. You know, like that's when it became. Good Hugh Grant.
Like I like
Four
it
Weddings
all.
And Notting Hill, right? I mean, do you like About a Boy, Hugh Grant?
He hasn't seen any of these movies.
None of those movies.
If it's an English movie in any type
of... No, I love... What about Monty Python? That's great stuff.
He has not seen the movie.
Like Bridget Jones died. Like, he's a good cad. Or like, I don't know what the word is. Is cat a word?
That's sure.
Like
when you're like if you're British.
But like
British.
About a Boy was fantastic.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I like Four Weddings and a Funeral. I think it's hilarious.
I love Four Weddings.
Yeah.
I'm a Hugh Grant
Small Time Crooks, which is a Woody Allen underrated film Hugh Grant appears in, which is good.
Yeah.
He's a jerk in 2 weeks' notice, too. This has turned into the Hugh Grant show now, but yeah, 2 weeks' notice, he's a huge jerk in it. And then,
whose boss is Hugh Grant?
He's a boss.
Weeks' notice?
Sandra Bullock.
Could
That's,
be a trivia
oh
question
gosh.
Later
wow.
on the show.
Oh my
could
goodness.
Be a
alert. It's foreshadowing.
Good thing we're talking about Hugh Grant now.
Wow. All right, Julie's going to take a break here. Well, John has his number one. Favorite married couple.
All right, I'm going to animate it again.
Holy three animations.
This is unreal.
I almost went three because I thought.
Oh
about
yeah,
up.
That's right. Yeah.
Just for the record, three animateds, one documentary, one foreign film.
Well, yeah. Hey, we're covering some bases.
Cultured.
Yeah.
It's Helen and Bob Parr, better known as Elastigirl and Mr. Incredible. From
I thought of that
the
one
Incredibles.
Too.
Thank you. Thank you for taking one for me, man.
Look at how happy Matt is over there. It makes
great.
Me sick.
That's great.
I love The Incredibles. Love it, love it, love it. But as why pick it for like the marriage top three? You know, they're both talented and super powered on their own. And maybe they, you know, they work fine on their own, but they work even better as a team. And so that's kind of a good analogy for marriage. You can work fine on your own. You're both talented. You're both capable. You're both independent and have separate interests and desires. But sometimes it's better to work as a team than separately. So Incredibles all the way. Disney and Pixar and Robert Zemeckis going for the gold.
You did not pick the film that I thought you were going to pick.
What did you think I was going to pick? Kermit and Miss Piggy?
No, True Lies.
Oh, True Lies? Is
I seriously thought that's what you're going to have on your list.
Ah, I take it back. Beetlejuice is out. Jamie Lee Curtis and Arnold are in. That's a good one.
I love it. I love it. Great picks all around, and we didn't really cross over ever.
No.
This is awesome. My number one pick comes from a 2013 film. This was a trilogy of films. I'm speaking of Jesse and Celine, played by Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy in Before Midnight. And for the jawheads who listen to this every week, they know I almost know everybody's bored by this pick because I've talked about this movie enough. But I would say,
yeah, we're going to burn this one.
It is yes, this is one that we will throw in the jaw box. It is probably the most realistic look at marriage, maybe of all time, in the sense that there's these arguments and these conversations that have such weight and. It just at the end of it, you understand that they don't want to just necessarily end the way they the argument is going, and that's somewhat how couples are. You're arguing one thing, and you're so mad at them, you just want them to leave the room. But in the end, you really don't want that person to leave the room. and so seldom is that expressed on screen as it was in Before Midnight. I don't know. Just so realistic. I loved it.
Yeah, it's a good pick, man.
Good.
I like it. I think Sunset is my favorite of the three, but Midnight, yeah, it's got some uncomfortable moments. And
yeah.
I don't know. I almost felt like they tipped Julie Delpy's character too far to the I don't understand what you're doing and you're coming across kind of crazy. Maybe that's me just being a guy, but
right.
Like, I don't know. I thought they tipped their hand a little too far, kind of almost like Gone Girl, you know, where you're like, it's a little more favorable to Ethan Hawke than it was to Julie Delpy, I felt like.
In the third movie.
In the third movie. But yes, as in terms of a realistic depiction, it's pretty spot on.
Hope they make another one.
9 years, right?
Yeah,
isn't
exactly.
That the going
every 9-10 years? Perfect.
Mm. What would it be called?
It'll have to be like before 4 p.m. because that's when they'll be eating dinner.
Before Denny's, right after breakfast.
I love it.
Before the early bird special.
Couple of honorable mentions before we go to break.
Yeah. I got a couple. So Mickey and Mallory Knox, right? From
I don't know how good of a couple they are, but all right.
And were they married or were they just... I thought about that. Were they are married,
they
right?
They married each other, yes.
Okay.
And then how about Clarence and Alabama Whirly from True Romance?
Nice. Mm-hmm.
These are the two crappy picks that I would have had I not come up with some better picks, but they would have been on my top five, I think.
Matthew, you're maturing.
How about that?
For me, I had On Golden Pond, which I remember seeing as a kid, and I think it was the first movie as a kid I cried at. It's everybody cries at this movie. Mm-hmm. And then also the British movie Another Year. I don't know if you guys have seen this one.
I have not seen that one.
But Jim
What's
Broadbent.
Up with you and all the British movies?
I don't know, but Jim Broadbent's in this movie. I forget the actress's name. Fantastic, because there's like a single friend involved, and so it sort of shows her life of what's going on, and they're all elderly couples. And see it if you can. You guys will love it. Another Year. I love it.
I just had one that I left off was Raising Arizona.
With nice.
Yeah.
Takes us out on a high note.
Yeah, like that.
Awesome. Great pick. Jawheads, if we missed your favorite married couple and you have Twitter pulled up, shoot us a tweet at CinemaJaw. We'll retweet it and get the discussion going. What we're going to do is take a break. And when we come back, Matt will be taking on John and Julie in Boss Movie Trivia. Plus, they'll be judging a cinema war looking at if Matt Damon should come back to the Bourne series, which I don't think he should. We'll be right back on CinemaJaw.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
CinemaJaw is brought to you by Regression. I just saw the new short film, Regression, Inc., directed by Mark Allen Richardson, starring Brendan Fleming and Robert Rachel. And what a mind fuck this film is. The story opens up on the grand opening of the Kinetic Kinesis Institute, run by a smooth-talking salesman, Chaz. After putting a seriously hard sales close on his first client, Phil, who is terminally ill with cancer, Chaz finds out his client's past holds some disturbing secrets. This story has twists, comedy, and suspense. Loved every second of it. Check it out, Jawheads.
CinemaJaw is also brought to you by Moe's Heroes. The purpose of Moe's Heroes is to provide services to assist in reintegrating homeless veterans into meaningful employment within the labor force and to stimulate the development of effective service delivery systems that will address the complex problems facing homeless veterans. And hey, Jawheads in Hawaii, Moe's Heroes is having an event. In keeping with the spirit of Thanksgiving, Moe's Heroes has teamed up with the Veterans Association of Real Estate Professionals and various veteran service organizations to host a Koa Ohana Thanksgiving event for veterans and their families who have nowhere to go for Thanksgiving on November 27th. This is taking place Thanksgiving Day. Doors open at 8 a.m. and lunch will be served at 11 a.m. It's at the Oahu Veterans Center at 1298 Kukila Street in Honolulu. So if you're out in Hawaii, Jawheads, for Thanksgiving, you should stop on by and help support this amazing event.
Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
And we are back on CinemaJaw, hanging out with John and Julie Hammerly from Hammer Vision Chicago Now blog. Guys, we had John on before. Julie obviously does television. You guys write every single day on the Chicago Now blog. For the Jawheads that want to check it out, I mean, if they go onto the old internet there, what is the best place to check you guys out?
We're at chicagonow.com/hammervision, all one word.
And you say you write daily, would you not?
Pretty much.
I think yesterday we did three in one day. We were like on fire, but That's not.
And do you guys consult each other and say, hey, I'm going to post this? Or
he'll usually be like, don't do that. He tells me all the time, not, just kidding. No.
You're an idiot.
Why are you doing that? No, we really don't. He does his thing, I do my thing. Sometimes we'll bounce stuff back and forth, but usually not.
All right, I gave you the Hammer Time idea. So what if you like get really drunk and watch a movie and then you're like hammered vision?
Oh, that's actually where the name came from. It apparently is a thing that hammer, yeah.
Right.
So I don't know. We didn't know that at first. We just...
Did we? No, I was called Hammer Vision like in high school.
Were you? Okay, I don't know.
Where are you coming up with? But I like that. I would do that in a heartbeat. No, I swear. Hammered Vision, watching Gymkata.
Yeah.
Review the heck out of that thing.
See? Hammered Vision. Good ideas for
all
you.
These like are really good movies, ideas. Like Night Shift.
Demons 2.
Night Patrol, sorry.
It's a bottle of wine and Netflix and see what happens.
Hijinks.
Right.
I love it. I love it. So Jawheads, check out HammerVision at ChicagoNow.com. Before we get to trivia, before we get to Cinema War, we did throw one item into the jaw box.
Oh, that means we got to let him out.
And it, as cold as it is in Chicago, it's hot in the back room here of Mother's, and also it has to be even hotter in the jaw box. Let's open up that jaw box.
What's your pleasure, Mr. Cotton?
The box.
We got a box! Oh, what's in the box?
What's going on, guys? Everybody here, including my two dads, apparently. yeah, it is steaming in here. I'm not kidding. I'm layered up for once because I still have some pajamas from our old sponsors,
but we won't
give them a free plug this time around. There is just only one question. It was, what was the vehicle that starred Kate Winslet, Jodie Foster, John C. Reilly, a Roman Polanski film named Carnage?
Carnage. I could not think of the name of it. I knew it was a one-word title.
Yes, that's it.
Boy, that was easy to look up, Paul S.
Yeah.
I'll get you the turkey next week, dude.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It was around this time that you gave him last week, last year's
turkey.
Just
so everybody knows, it's a pet turkey. It's not like he's not going to feed me or anything.
He's probably going
to
eat it,
it's up to
me,
yeah.
He's a savage.
It's a fight to the death, pretty much.
Yeah, get back in there.
Yeah, get back in that jaw box.
Thanks.
I got a bigger turkey this year.
Matt brings us to a segment called
Cinema War.
And Cinema War works like this, Jawheads. This is where me and Matt battle on a topic each week. And our guests this week, Julie and John, get to play judge, jury, and executioner and tell the Jawheads at home who they think won this Cinema War. And it's important, let's be honest here, Matt, because we're fighting for 20 seconds of precious jaw time to rant and rave on whatever we want. Whew, I tell you, this damn Matt Damon is coming back to the Bourne series. I'm pissed off. Heck, Elias, tell the Jawheads at home what today's Cinema War topic is.
Today's Cinema War topic, Matt Damon has announced he is returning as Jason Bourne. Is this a fun idea, or should he have left it alone? Matt, you'll be fighting for it's a fun idea. Rye, you'll be fighting for that he should have left it alone. Let the Cinema War begin.
Matt Damon returning to the Bourne series as Jason Bourne? Whew, sounds like he has a bad case of amnesia. He must not remember how hanging on to a series for far too long has worked out for others in his field. Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man, or better yet, Arnold coming back in the Terminator series. This is not a sign of a cutting-edge actor, but of an actor clinging on to popularity.
Rye, prior to the Bourne series, I kind of saw Matt Damon as a sissy lad. Suddenly, here is this huge badass who can break your arm like a twig. The series did wonders for his career and made him a potential action star. Of course he should return.
Matt, when the Bourne series came out, it changed the spy genre on its head. The close-up fight scenes, coupled with some shaky cam, gave it a realism we were not used to seeing. Now, however, so many films have come out that use the same techniques, such as Haywire, Salt, and even the revamped Bond series. Bourne is not going to be that special anymore. Damon should not return.
Listen, Damon is beginning to age. I think revitalizing himself in a vibrant, action-packed, dare I say, sexy role could be great for this point in his career. Is he going to win the Oscar? No, but better to get these action roles in now while he can. Don't want him to break a hip like Harrison Ford.
Matt, outside of Jason Bourne wanting more money, what is left to tell of his story? I loved the first three films because it had a perfect story arc, which concluded in Ultimatum when Bourne meets his maker. The original trilogy was perfect, return for the fourth time, just forget it.
I don't know. Listen, yes, this is the elephant in the room. He's going to get paid. He's got kids to feed. Clearly, this isn't an artistic choice, but the Bourne films have been consistently high-quality, well-directed movies. So why not make another one? The Bourne films with Damon in them. So why not make another one? We know it's going to be a good movie, and it's going to be well-received.
I'll tell you why. What is going to happen in the next movie, Matt? His memory comes back, and he recalls that he was about to get married to Channing Tatum in The Vow? Are they going to do a fifth or sixth movie? Where is this thing going? Matt Damon is already signed on to do interesting projects like Ridley Scott's The Martian. He does not need to return to a series that is past its peak. This is a bad move all the way around. All the way around.
It's not a bad move for Matt Damon. And interesting projects have not exactly been great to him lately. He's had no solo box office hit in a long time. Elysium, The Adjustment Bureau, on and on and on. He's just been getting these smaller, less recognized roles. His career needs this shot in the arm before he's not seen as the leading man anymore, and he's just going to be some guy who makes cameos like an Eller. Oh, look, Matt Damon's in this. I mean, wow. That's his career at this
spoiler
point.
Spoiler alert. That's a huge spoiler alert.
It has been out for a couple of... So we'll let that one slip, right, Matt. I was wondering if that was going to come up on your arguments. We are button heads.
That's it. That's all I got to say.
Button heads, as always, on Cinemore. We throw it to Julie. We throw it to John. What did you guys think of this Cinemore?
This was a pretty good Cinemore. There's a lot of valid arguments back and forth. Yes, he has amnesia, and he cured that at the end of the third movie. So what are they going to do on one side? And on the other... Yes, I think Damon has some integrity. He held out for Paul Greengrass to come back, and Paul Greengrass is coming back to direct, so it's not like it's a total cash grab. He did have some integrity in the process, and Matt makes a good point where if it means we don't get another Jeremy Renner sequel to Bourne Legacy, which you know Universal's going to keep making Bourne movies. It's a done deal, so we're either going to get Jeremy Renner or we're going to get Matt Damon. And I got to say, I'd rather see Matt Damon. Julie, I mean, where are you on this?
First of all, I don't like you disparaging Jeremy Renner, but I agree that...
Says the lady who never saw Bourne Legacy.
I never saw it.
He's the least cool of the Avengers. Let's just put that out there.
But he's one of the most hot.
Okay.
But anyway, I do like the fact that Greengrass is back. Matt Damon, it makes sense to me. Boy's got to get paid. He's got four children. And like you said, he has not had a box office hit in a while. I think people will go see this movie. I think it's a good move for him.
Yeah.
I can't believe
Ring the bell. Ring the bell.
I refuse to.
That's right.
Wow. Wow. All that right. Earns you 20 seconds of jaw time to rant and rave on whatever you want.
I'm going to use this 20 seconds to promote the film. You guys may have heard of it. It's called The Man of Steel. It's about this character named Superman, who is from another planet. He grows up on Earth, and he's an alien. People don't know. He becomes a hero for the entire human race. It just came out summer or two ago. And I think it's underrated. You should check it out. If you haven't seen it, it's a good movie.
All right. He's been wasting his 20 seconds week after week every time he wins here. This is ridiculous at this point.
I see. I win so often, I have no idea what I'm going to say.
I, you know what? I don't think what bothers me lately that he wins, it's his 20-second rants.
I'm just better at arguing.
No, he's just a jackass is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Man of Steel.
God damn it. All right. It brings us to trivia. And trivia this week is brought to you by...
HQC.international.
Tell me more.
So Radio Shack is gone. So where do you go now when you need high-quality electronic parts? HQC International has it all. From cell phone parts to laptop parts to camera parts, HQC International also carries accessories. Check it out yourself, Rye, at hqc.international.
As we mentioned, Horrible Bosses 2 coming out in theaters the 26th of November. We are playing boss movie trivia. There are some famous movie bosses that have been portrayed in movies. So that is the topic this week, boss movie trivia. Julie, John, you are a guest. You get to choose if you want to go first or let Matt go first. There are steals, and if one of you guys get hung up on any one of the questions, our engineer, Elias Rodriguez, has clues to all the questions. You get one trip to the ER.
We'll go first.
Oh, they'll go first. Now, they start easy, guys. They start easy. Okay. All right. Question number one, over to John and Julie. We'll just call them Hammer Vision from this point out. It'll be easier on me.
That's fair.
Question number one over to Hammer Vision. Meryl Streep played Miranda Priestly, Anne Hathaway's boss, in this 2006 film.
The Devil Wears Prada.
I concur.
Yep.
1-0 Hammer Vision. Question number two over to Matt K. Name the actor who played Maggie Gyllenhaal's boss in the 2002 film Secretary.
Was that, oh man, I know this one. Was it Alan Rickman? Was it?
John, Julie, you got a chance for a steal?
James Spader.
James Spader.
That's right. He's going to be Ultron, by the way.
Yeah. Yes,
he is.
Yeah.
2-0 2-0 Hammer Vision. And then you'll know who James Spader is.
Yeah. Well, he was in Pretty in Pink.
Yes, he was.
Question number three, over to
it's
Hammer Vision.
It's all a blur
Vision.
In between Pretty in Pink and Avengers. Yeah.
Question three, Gary Cole played Bill Lamber in Office Space. What actor played the lead in the movie Peter Gibbons?
That would be Ron Livingston.
I'm going to die.
3-0 Hammer Vision. This is unbelievable. I would love an 8-0 result after you won that damn cinema war. All right, it is 3-0.
If only you played trivia against me, you might win once in a while.
Ooh, here we go. Question four, Matt. Instead of a Christmas bonus, what did Clark Griswold get from his boss in National Lampoon's Vacation?
A membership to the Jelly of the Month Club.
Good one.
Yes. He's on the board. He's on the board.
I need my Chicago card revoked and my movie card revoked if I miss that one.
Question five over to Hammer Vision. Guys, Hugh Grant. Oh, boy. Keep your shirt on here, Julie. Hugh Grant played Renee Zellweger's boss in Bridget Jones's Diary. But who played Mark Darcy, the guy interested in Bridget Jones?
That would be Colin Firth.
4-1 Hammer Vision. Very convincing here.
Okay.
Matt, question six over to you. Demi Moore was the boss.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Douglas was the employee. The year was 1994. Name the movie.
I'm going to take a trip to the ER.
Whoa! A trip to the ER. Elias Rodriguez, question number six. What was the name of that Demi Moore 1994 movie?
Your clue is, tell something that was a secret.
Tell something that was a secret.
I think that's a pretty good clue if you know the answer,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, if you know the answer.
Well, I mean, it's supposed to jar something. They all got the clue.
Tell something that was a secret.
Like this clue is a secret. Well,
it was a secret.
I know.
Yeah, it was a secret, but now it's out there. I like it, Elias.
I don't know. Whistleblower? I have no idea. It's not even
a
real movie.
What a jackass.
Close.
Wow. You guys got a chance for a steal.
Oh,
you guys,
do they know it?
It's the sexual harassment reversal tale. Disclosure.
Tell something that was a secret.
Huh?
I don't know.
I would not have gotten that if that was a clue.
That was a hard
one. And I didn't know it.
Hey, Elias tries his best over in the jaw box. I mean, we're happy he's got a pen and paper down there.
I saw Disclosure with my mom. Fun fact.
Whoa,
in theaters.
Wow.
A little awkward.
Elias saw The Wolf of Wall Street with his in-laws.
Oh, no.
Girlfriend's parents, but yeah.
Close enough.
Yeah.
And he wasn't wearing pants in the theater. It was very awkward.
So weird.
Yeah. All right, it is 5-1 Hammer Vision. Question number seven now is over to him. Guys, in 2009, Sandra Bullock played a pushy boss forced to marry her young assistant to keep her visa. What actor played that young assistant?
Ryan Reynolds.
That's
Green
right.
Lantern. Himself.
Of course,
no
John knew that one. Of course, John knew that one.
Sorry, Mr. Blake Lively.
It's 6-1.
His preferred nomenclature.
It's just an absolute slaughter at this point. Matt, here you go. You just get last question.
All right,
here we go. And this is a layup for you. All right.
Good.
Sigourney Weaver played the boss in 1988's Working Girl.
Yeah.
But who played her secretary, Tess McGill, in the film?
Melanie Griffith.
Wow, not bad. But you go down to flame of glory here. Boy, I tell you. 6-2. Can I get a shake of hands?
Yeah.
Good work. Solid effort.
Really, a shake of hands here. I love it. Across the
table. Literal shake of hands.
Yeah, it was. Now, there was a jawbreaker in case it came to a tie. Julie, this would have went to you. Who would you rather work for, Leonardo DiCaprio in Wolf of Wall Street or the Duke brothers in Trading Places?
I don't know. Leo's...
Have you seen Trading
Places? I have not. No, I don't think I have. So, Leo's workplace looked fun.
Incorrect. It should be the Duke brothers.
Okay.
Leo may let you stick a candle up his
See, I think Leo would be okay with me working there.
Yeah.
All right. The real jawbreaker was this guy's age of Melanie Griffith.
Ooh.
Closest to. Matt, you got a guess?
53 years old.
Wait, yeah. Today? How old is she?
How old is she
today? No, 10 years ago. Yeah, today.
I thought you meant in Working Girl. In Working Girl.
All right, Matt is at 53. Elias, can you lock him in at 53?
That might even be generous.
You guys only get one guess. You only get one guess. No, you guys have won anyway, so it doesn't matter. But
she's older.
It's 59. 57. 57, okay.
57.
Bunch of ringers over here. 57 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know my Melanie Griffith.
Wow.
I
actually don't.
Apparently you do.
Wow. That killed you, Matt.
I knew it was going to happen, man.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Boy, oh boy. What a great jaw we've had here.
Yeah, seriously. Thanks for coming out, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Braving the cold. It's freezing out there in Chicago. It's ridiculously cold right now.
Yeah, but at least we don't have the snow they have up in Buffalo.
Really? It's bad
up
there? They
got 8 feet of snow. It's insane.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chicago's way better than Buffalo.
Isn't it?
Yes, and because we have hammer vision.
Exactly.
We bring the warmth.
Writing on the blog of Chicago Now, you guys going to the holiday party this year?
We are, yeah.
There will be karaoke. So
we'll be up there for karaoke.
We don't miss things that have karaoke.
Hey, we're going to go, we'll and we're going to let Elias out of the jaw box, and Elias is going to come up as well.
All right.
It's going to be a real schwindig. It's on a Sunday night this year, too.
Yeah. So. Well, it works because we couldn't have gone when it was originally held. So this we're in.
Awesome. So again, for the jawheads listening to this, I want to read your reviews, both television and film.
We are at chicagonow.com/hammervision.
And also on Twitter.
And Twitter, I'm Julie Hammerly, all one word, and then I'm
at Hammervision.
Thanks awesome. So much for coming on, guys.
Yeah thanks again.
Thanks for having us.
It's always
us.
Fun having you on.
It's cool. a great
show.
Time. Great show. Matt, it brings us to the end of a great jaw. And first and foremost, thanks for all the sponsors, and also thanks to the new 400.
Yep, and thanks to Elias Rodriguez.
Yeah, the best in the biz.
Thank you, guys. See you next week.
See ya.
With my turkey.
Until next week, check us out on Facebook.
Follow us on Twitter.
And keep on.